Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, the number to dial, as you just mentioned, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We'll be going to your calls in just a few moments. Our contact information on the web, equip.org. And via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. I've been waiting for this day for a long time. We are finally in the month in which we're making a brand new edition of the complete Bible Answer Book available to you. Over 50 new entries, over 25 new acronyms. It is a process I've been working at throughout the entirety of my ministry. And I am so delighted that to this date we have over 500,000 copies in print around the world. And now we're adding a new volume. And with each one of them, of course, people are getting my answers on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but chiseled so just the gem emerges. We took the Bible out of our schools, now we're sending it into our prisons. When secular humanism and scientism, I'm not talking about science, I'm talking about scientism, the belief that only science can make reliable truth claims. So when we took scientism as the marching order as opposed to real science, well, we're driving God's word from our educational institutions, and so we shouldn't be surprised that our leading spiritual, moral, and ethical indicators have gone south. Again, a brand new edition of the Bible Answer Man answer book available for you all this month. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. One of the entries, and I might get to it sometime in today's broadcast or tomorrow, is should Christians fear death? That might seem like a very simple question to answer, but I think it's one of the most profound because, as I've said many times on the show, the death rate is one per person. We're all going to make it. The new Bible Answer book available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and our outreaches around the world. Be your first to get a personalized copy when you join the CRI monthly support team. Again, check it out on the web at equip.org or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI, a lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Dave. He's listening on NRB television. Hi, Dave.
Hello.
Hi.
Is this Hank?
Yes, it is.
Hank, my daughter asked me a question last week.
Uh-huh.
And I really couldn't answer it for her, so I was trying to do some research, and then I saw your program, and I thought, good place to start.
Yeah.
She asked me that when God made Adam and Eve, what was their nationality and what was their color?
Yeah, see, God created people, and from people come people. So we all have different characteristics, and we cannot say with any certainty what the color of Adam and Eve's hair was, what the color of their skin was, what the color of their eyes were. We simply do not know. What we know is that there is a genetic library that comes into being when a human being comes into being. And the genetic library itself contains all of the information from height to hair color of the person. And through the years, what happens is there is a changing of genes and gene pools and so forth. And so there's a continued change in characteristics of people. But at the end of the day, a Christian doesn't think of it from the perspective of race. We think about it from the perspective of just people who are completely equal because we have the imago Dei, the image of God stamped upon us, and therefore we have intrinsic value and worth as people made in the image and likeness of God. In the evolutionary system, and your daughter, no doubt, if she hasn't been exposed, will be exposed to that. In that system, there is a gradation of races from lower to higher races. So the higher races eventually end up extinguishing the lower races. This was something that Darwin very proudly taught.
I see. Well, I wasn't sure how to answer her, and I basically just told her that God created people, which I'm including Adam and Eve, in his image. And we don't know what his image is other than it's love and light. So,
well, we bear all of the, when you know, we bear all of what's called in theological jargon, all of the communicable attributes of God. They find a reflection in humanity. So God is love. Human beings have the capability of expressing love. God has volition or will. Humans have the same. We have the ability to act or to act otherwise. So we bear those communicable attributes. We do not bear the incommunicable attributes. We're not transcendent. We're not omniscient. In other words, we don't know everything. We're not all-powerful. So there are characteristics in God that don't find a reflection in humanity, also characteristics that do.
I see. Okay, well, thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Dan, listening in California, KCIV. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Hank. Get this. In order for kings to rule, they must be obeyed. So if we teach the whole world to obey God and Jesus' laws by the Bible, that's the way Jesus can have his kingdom, wherever he may be. Just have the world obey the laws of Jesus so Jesus can rule that way.
Yeah, ultimately, that's what we're looking for, a time in which everyone follows Jesus Christ. But that's not going to happen in this time-space continuum. We're looking for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. In the meantime, people have volition, as I was just talking about. They have will. They can choose to receive his principles and precepts or rebel against them. And that will continue to be the case until the time that Jesus appears a second time.
Well, we are little missionaries for him to bring in the kingdom, and the kingdom would be, they just have to obey God.
Yeah, we are missionaries. We are called ambassadors for Jesus Christ. God is making his way and his will plain through us. So we're called to communicate the gospel, but we're not called to force anyone to obey the gospel. Again, that is a function of the will of a person. So a person can respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit or reject it.
May I ask you what the kingdom is then? What would constitute the kingdom?
Yeah, so the kingdom is the rule of Jesus Christ. The king has landed in disguise, and he's calling us all to a great campaign of sabotage, as C.S. Lewis put it. We are co-consummators of that kingdom. But that kingdom will not be ushered in its fullness until Jesus appears a second time. In the meantime, the wheat and the tares will grow up together. Jesus ultimately is preparing a bride. It is the full complement of his people, the 144,000, or the great crowd that's talked about in the book of Revelation. That is the full complement of God's people. And when that full complement, when the bride is complete, then Jesus Christ will appear a second time.
Well, if we have the world obey him, then he can rule that way. He can because kings rule by people obeying them.
Right, but that's never happened and will never happen until Jesus appears a second time. Then the universe will be restored, as will those who are followers of Jesus Christ will be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Hey, you got it. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Ron in Prescott, Arizona, listening on the web. Hi.
Good evening, Hank.
Good evening.
I've heard pastors talking about limited atonement, unlimited atonement, and some teach that the Lord paid the price for every sin on the cross except the sin of unbelief, while others say he only paid the price for the elect. Which do you think it is?
Well, I don't think that the love of God is limited in any way. God so loved the world. The Bible tells us, if you look at 1 John 2, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. Or you think about Romans chapter 5, where Paul says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And so we have a Christ that died for the sins of the world. His death is sufficient to cover all of our sins. It is only efficient for those who place their trust in him. So the Holy Spirit woos the world, and we either respond in humble subjection to the wooing of the Holy Spirit, or we rebel against the wooing of the Holy Spirit. But there's no limit whatsoever to the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He died so that all might live. Now, obviously, as I've said many times on this broadcast, the Lord does not force anyone into his kingdom, either in this life or in the life to come. Were he to force anyone into heaven, heaven wouldn't be heaven, heaven would be hell. So I think there are many passages in the Scripture. There are others I could quote to you, like 1 Timothy chapter 2, God our Savior wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. None of this implies universal salvation or universalism, as salvation has to be, again, received by faith.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but my point is, some pastors teach that the sins of everyone who die in unbelief have been paid for except the sin of unbelief. So at the Great White Throne Judgment, they are only held accountable for the one sin of unbelief. What's your position on that?
Well, I mean, if you're held accountable for the sin of unbelief, not believing what you could have believed, and we all have the light of creation, we all have the light of conscience, and if we do not respond to that light, then we live in darkness. And that's precisely what Jesus Christ said, light came into darkness, when he was talking to Nicodemus, light came into darkness, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil.
Okay, well, would you say there will be levels of punishment for the unsaved?
Absolutely.
Or will everyone be punished equally?
Oh, no, no. I mean, certainly there are degrees of reward in heaven and degrees of punishment in hell. And if you think of how a judgment works on earth, if someone runs a red light and someone else rapes a woman, the punishments are very, very different. And God takes into consideration every converging factor. Therefore, there are degrees of punishment in hell just as there are degrees of reward in heaven. In fact, I actually write about this in the new edition of the Bible Answer book that I was talking about earlier on in the broadcast, as well as in my book, Afterlife.
Okay, thank you very much, Hank. I appreciate your answer. Thank you much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call and for everyone that calls in their questions. I mean, this is one of the things that we're seeking to do is not just answer the question, but model how to do it with gentleness and with respect, and ultimately realize that in answering questions, we can use the answers as springboards or opportunities for sharing the grace, the truth, the love that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. The complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised, updated, now available for your gift. And as I mentioned earlier on in the broadcast, for those who join the CRI monthly support team, be pleased to send you a copy personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. Number of ways to check that out. You can see it on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or just talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. Back with more answers in a moment.
How should Christians respond to the LGBTQ community? What about Easter celebrations? Should Christians fear death? Is soul sleep biblical? What about the millennium? These and many more are the questions answered in the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated by Hank Hanegraaff. Receive Hank's revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org, equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. In an age in which more and more people are apparently inclined to major on the minor, C.S. Lewis wisely guides our focus to mere Christianity. The book Mere Christianity came from talks given by Lewis on BBC Radio during World War II. Many were questioning their traditional faith or seeking a faith they could rationally embrace. So Lewis presented and defended the distilled essence of the faith, what he referred to as mere Christianity. His message speaks to us with profound relevance today as growing numbers of Americans witness the fabric of society fraying amidst terrorist attacks that jolt our sensibilities from Paris to San Bernardino. To receive your copy of Mere Christianity as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Frugal, transparent, and down-to-earth, Pope Francis is one of the most popular public figures. But what about his theological vision? Although he doesn't seem to be pushing a dogmatic Roman Catholic outlook, he nonetheless has his own dogmatic certainties, and they are not what one may expect. Other topics include five differences between Sharia and Old Testament law, Jonathan Cahn's American Revelation, reason, truth, faith, and literary imagination, literature as apologetics, humanity crucified, Hemingway, and the human condition. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. The average Christian can't be expected to be a Bible scholar. And in today's fast-paced, quick-fix culture, few people are going to do the heavy lifting of systematically searching Scripture to find the answers they need to what can be a very long list of questions. Hank Hanegraaff's The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, offers you concise, accessible, and thoroughly researched answers. Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Lori listening in Washington. Hi, Lori.
Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
My question has to do with, you know, I've always been raised where people say that our loved ones are in heaven and watch over us. They can hear us. Yet everything I'm reading in the Bible is contrary to that. So therein lies my question.
Sure. A couple of things. The soul is not the whole of a human being. When a body dies, the non-physical aspect of a human being goes to be with the Lord. So sleep is a very common biblical metaphor for the death of the body, but the Bible never speaks of the soul asleep in death. So far from soul sleep, to be with Christ is soul satisfaction. The soul continues to have conscious existence apart from the body. That's the biblical worldview. So Paul can say that for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. The reason Paul can say it's better by far is because to be absent from the body is to have communion with the one who created us.
Okay. I'm trying to think of, I don't have my notes with me, but parts of the Bible that say when we're asleep, we're aware of nothing, but our mind is aware of nothing. So when the spirit goes with God when we die, is there any conscious awareness of anything at all?
Yes, and in fact, that's the point that I was making. So if you look at John chapter 11, Jesus tells his disciples, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. And the disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. And Jesus was speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. So the question now becomes, what happens to Lazarus while he's dead? Is he simply one that has no conscious awareness, or has his body only died? Well, we get the answer from another Lazarus. And if you look at the story of Lazarus, where Lazarus dies, and he ends up, he's a beggar, he ends up in the presence of the Lord. And then a rich man dies, he ends up in torment. If you think about that parable, what do you find? You find that both have conscious awareness. One is in torment, and the other is said to be comforted in Abraham's bosom. You find that in Luke chapter 16.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You got it. Thank you for your call and for your persistence. So we are always confident, says Paul, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him in all things. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to David. He's listening in Wichita, Kansas on Bot Radio. Hi, David. Hello, David. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mason, listening in Birmingham, Alabama, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mason.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing tonight?
I'm well, thank you.
So, Hank, let me start this off saying that I'm not into titles or anything, but I've been moving away from dispensationalism over the last 5 or 6 years. I spent about 15 years there preaching and teaching that point of view of Scripture. And over the last 5 years or so, I've moved away from that, probably more into a partial preterist view, realizing that Matthew 24 and Revelation, majority of that has already taken place. Whether that's right or wrong, I don't know your point of view, but just wanted to understand, why is it so critical for people who are against preterism or partial preterism to force the issue about the book of Revelation being written prior to AD 70? I understand the destruction of the temple and such, but the Gospels are written after the events of what took place, and yet we don't hold them in, to that same scrutiny as we do the book of Revelation. Means it was written after 70, but it still not make the vision that John had valid and still is applicable?
Yeah, I mean, it is a seminal point in the argument. Let me go at it this way. If you think about Revelation being written 25 years after the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, you would imagine that the gospel writers, particularly John, who wrote Revelation, would make something out of the Olivet Discourse, because Jesus had predicted that the temple and Jerusalem would be destroyed within a generation. And the writers of Scripture always seize upon fulfilled prophecy. So had that prophecy been fulfilled, then the writers, if they're writing after the event, would talk about it. It's hard to imagine me writing a history of New York and not talking about the Manhattan Massacre, or writing a history of Nazi Germany. If I'm writing now, I'm going to talk about, obviously, the Holocaust. So it's really important in terms of the dating, because if, in fact, you have an early dating, the prophecy has not been fulfilled, the temple is still looked at as existing in the book of Revelation, and you realize that the whole of the Bible is for a particular purpose. It's not to tell us what's going to happen in the 21st century. It is to tell us that God's word is sure. Yeah, the book of Revelation, like the Olivet Discourse, is pointing out that in this world we're going to have tribulation, but take heart, God's overcome the world. We're going to suffer for a short time. Our vindication is an eternal vindication. So what you have with the book of Revelation is just seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. They're going to suffer horribly, but they're called to be fruitful and faithful. And in the end, they're going to be part of that great crowd, the full complement of God's people from every language and nation. So Revelation is very much like the other books in the Bible. It's talking about what's going to happen in the far future, but it's also talking about what's going to happen in the final future when John sees the river of the water of life as clear as crystal flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. One other thing I would say is that secular scholars now, by and large, are redating all of the New Testament to prior to AD 70 for the very reasons that I've just explained.
Okay. Thank you. That's very helpful. I appreciate your perspective, and thank you for your show. I hope God continues to bless you and what you're doing.
Thank you. And just a quick P.S. I've written a book on this, and it's at least a book that includes a very lengthy discussion of the implications of the question that you asked. It's called The Apocalypse Code. find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. I think a very significant a book, not only from the standpoint of answering the question that you've asked, but it shows why it matters what you think about the end times. It has huge socio-political implications, but it also has a huge implication with respect to how you read the Bible.
So I haven't listened to your show. I only called into it the last few months. Can you give me two sentences? Do you believe that the book of Revelation is partially fulfilled, if not 80 to 90% complete? What's your perspective, just real quickly?
Yeah, I think that all of the Bible has been fulfilled except for this, that Jesus Christ is going to appear a second time, that when he does, he will forever deal with the problem of sin and Satan, will be resurrected immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. What happens to us goes hand in hand with what happens to the universe that now groans in liberation will be relieved from its bondage to decay. And we will be restored not only as a people, but as a planet. And that's what we're looking forward to that has not happened. But what you find in the Bible has been fulfilled in terms of the prophecies. God tells us the things that are going to happen before they happen. So when they happen, we will believe. It is not to pin the tail on a 21st century Antichrist or be able to predict when Jesus is going to appear a second time. We simply do not know. God holds the future in such a way that we don't know what the future holds. And he does this via his grace and mercy towards us. If we knew what the future held, we would not want to face the future. So what God gives us is enough light so we can step into some more light. And when we encounter the difficulties, the trials, the tribulations of life, he gives us the grace we need when we need it.
Well, amen, Hank. Thank you very much, and have a great evening.
You as well. Appreciate talking to you, Pastor. And look, our show is going out not only here, but around the world. I don't have my notes in here, but I jotted some notes the other day of questions I've got from all over the world. It's simply astounding. They come in by letter, they come in by email. Social media provides the questions that come into the Christian Research Institute, but also you hear them right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And so the beauty of all of that is people are standing shoulder to shoulder with this ministry in the battle for life and truth, and lives are being transformed. Because of people that support this broadcast, this ministry, I'm enabled every year to go to parts of the world and train missionaries. Those missionaries, in turn, are leading people to faith in Christ. But they're not just, as it were, gaining tumbleweed, people that have no root, but they're able to disciple those people so those people become reproducing disciple makers in turn. All of that to say that I could not do what I do without you. My deepest gratitude, and always an invitation for people to join me as monthly support team members. You can do that on the web at equip.org/donate. And again, for those who join the monthly CRI support team, a brand new edition of the Complete Bible Answer Book out to you, personalized to you, a family member or a friend. Again, a brand new edition. First week we've had it, and we'll have it all this month available for your gift. I hope many join the monthly CRI support team. We're trying to set a new record with this new book. All of the proceeds, 100%, go to the ministry, the Christian Research Institute. Anything that comes out of this ministry, whether I write it, someone else writes it, the proceeds go to the ministry. So please support the ministry. We need your support. Deeply appreciate it. We'll be back with more answers in just a moment.
Hank Hanegraaff is convinced that the increase in our national social woes, now reaching alarming heights, can be correlated to what is a decades-long decline in biblical literacy. To help reverse this trend, Hank wrote the Complete Bible Answer Book. And now, he'd like you to have a copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated.
Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Although superficial similarities exist between the Law of Moses and the Law of Muhammad, profound differences abound. The article, Five Differences Between Sharia and Old Testament Law, shows why Christians who condemn ISIS-style beheadings, sexual exploitation of women, and oppression of religious minorities are not being hypocrites. Other topics include the theological vision of Pope Francis, Christian hip-hop, death with dignity and the Imago Dei, bears gone wild, responding to attacks on the portrayal of God in the Old Testament. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains over 50 new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. C.S. Lewis wrote, "The great difficulty is to get modern audiences to realize that you are preaching Christianity solely and simply because you think it is true. They always suppose you're preaching it because you like it. Now, a clearly maintained distinction between what the faith actually says and what you would like it to have said forces your audience to realize that you are tied to your data just as the scientist is tied by the results of the experiments, that you are not just saying what you like. This immediately helps them realize that what is being discussed is a question about objective fact." To receive your copy of Mere Christianity as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Having dismissed the salt and light of God's Word, we shouldn't be surprised to see corruption abounding and darkness increasing as a consequence. Yet when you ponder the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation, which ones would not be improved through a pervasive and deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths? That's why you need the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated by Hank Hanegraaff. Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone calls. Next up is David, listening in Wichita, Kansas, Bot Radio. Hi, David.
Hello, Hank. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can.
Well, thank you. I met you in Overland Park, Kansas, several years back, and I have been a listener on Bot Radio since, and thank you for all that you do. But I had a glycoglossa 2-inch by 3-inch piece of cancer removed from my head on October 20th.
Oh, wow.
And 95% was taken out, and we're working on the other 5% with some chemo and some other treatments, and things are going well.
Oh, wonderful.
But, you know, as I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, you know, we've heard that all our life, and fear no evil. Well, let me just attest to something. Every promise that I've ever read in the Bible since I've known Jesus for almost 40 years, every promise, everything that has been told, I see no red flags run up that God's promises aren't 100% there. And that peace that surpasses all understanding is not only peace. I can't even explain it. That's how good it is. But in this chemo treatment, I've been real tired, so in around about 16 hours a day, I get to ponder on some things. And one of the things that I pondered on, because God is so structured with things, he put Jesus at the right hand of his throne. I want to know what's on the left side of his throne, and what's symbolic about being on the right or the left?
Yeah, what's symbolic about it, and I love the fact that you point out that it is symbolic. Obviously, God does not sit on a throne with its wheels all ablaze. These are all metaphors that have sharp teeth. They're communicating truths. And the idea of right and left hand of the throne of majesty has to do with an idea of being exalted to the place of honor. And remember what happened with Jesus Christ. He voluntarily veiled the prerogatives of divinity, and he took on the limitations of humanity. But in his ascension, he is seated at the right hand of power. So he is again exalted to the highest position. And that is the point that is being made with respect to Jesus Christ after his ascension.
Okay, now here's one of those pondering things that, you know, my being able to listen to God and the Holy Spirit for a long period of my day, I'm telling you, that's an amazing thing that's going on. But when the right hand, with Jesus being there and all of the love that Jesus possesses, that is the right side, the love side, and the left side, the action side. You know, I don't know those answers, but, you know, it just seems like the power of the Holy Spirit. I've gotten to witness amazing things with it during this time. But the power of the name Jesus, when I use it, when I still get to go out occasionally, but when I use the name Jesus, I have seen I have seen things that's so amazing that I don't, you know, sometime else when I'm around where you're speaking, I'm going to come talk to you, but I have seen things that are just so downright just amazing when the name of Jesus is used.
I appreciate that testimony because that's, you know, in essence, very much commensurate with what you're asking about, the right hand having to do with his authority and his power. And I think that's what you're describing.
Yes. And, you know, the ability, I mean, it's all set in by God, so it's all good.
Well, it is. And I know that you have touched a lot of people by your testimony. It's easy to talk about how we can stand when we are tested, but you have been tested and you're testifying to standing, and it's an encouragement to each one listening in. So God bless you, David. It was just a pleasure to talk to you again.
Well, if you ever have free time, please, I've got stories that I don't want to talk about over the air, but I want to tell you about things that, you know, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I fear no evil. There's stories inside, and a lot of good, solid Christians don't you know, they love Jesus and everything, but they won't turn that corner when they got something that's, you know, bothering them, and they're scared to go around the corner. And what they don't realize, and what I've been talking about a lot to people, is go ahead and go around that corner, because, yes, the booger man might be there, but guess who's right behind him and right in front of him and right all over him. And we stop trusting God for all those, with all those promises that he's given us, because it's us limiting God's ability to continue to do all those things that he's promised us he would do. And he's not disappointed me on one promise.
Well,
I mean, he's walking with me. And
amen.
The peace that I've got, I can't explain it. I don't deserve it. But when I finally figured out that, oh, yes, I did. Because Jesus paid the price.
Well, bless you, my friend. I appreciate your call. And hang on. Let's see if there's some way we can connect. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Corey. He's listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Corey.
Hey, I was calling. You had taken a call or a woman a few back, and you were talking about the state of consciousness after death. You know, believers, you know, the soul goes to be with Jesus, you know, to heaven. And, you know, this is before the final judgment. My question would be, an unbeliever, you know, we haven't had the judgment. I mean, where do you think, I mean, it's, where do you think that they would go? You take the story of the rich man and Lazarus. I know it was a parable. Maybe Jesus was making an example. But the rich man, you know, wherever he was, I don't know, maybe this is after the judgment and he's in the lake of fire or wherever. But I just wanted your opinion on unbelievers are wicked, inherently wicked people's destination before the judgment.
Sure. Well, again, as I've said many times on this broadcast, there's life after life, and there's life after life after life, which is to say there is life that we experience now, but there's also life after life. So if you were to die as a believer, you'd be absent the body, present with the Lord, being comforted in his presence. And this, of course, is the case with Lazarus, who dies, and he's comforted in Abraham's bosom. Conversely, the rich man who finds himself in torment. But there's life after life after life, in the sense that when Jesus appears a second time, then you have the final judgment, in which not only is there a separation between sheep and goats, but there's a judgment of rewards and punishments, which is to say that those who are sheep, the followers of the Lamb, they are given their rewards. And those who are goats are given their punishments. Again, metaphors to talk about those who believe and those who do not believe, based on the words of Jesus. So you end up having life, life after life, and then life after life after life, in the sense that when Jesus appears a second time, then you have the final state of affairs.
So it sounds like before the final state, you know, I guess some are going to go right into some kind of punishment or some kind of clearly unpleasant place.
Yes, it is exactly, and I think you're very wise to point to Luke chapter 16, because I think this is a definitive passage pointing to that. But there are many other passages that I alluded to in the first segment of this broadcast, many other passages that talk about the fact that when your body dies, your soul continues having conscious existence. And that's why Paul could say that he yearned for that very thing, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To be present with the Lord is a joy that is indescribable. It is only surpassed by our resurrection.
Right. Okay, well, thank you. Great show.
I appreciate your call. I'm thinking right now, so many people hanging on that I'll probably stay here for a while once we go off the air today. So if you want to hang on, I'll continue answering questions. I'll record my answers to your questions. We'll play that on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So again, if you're hanging on, be patient. If you're dialing in, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Carol. She's listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Oh, it's such a pleasure and honor to be talking to you. I listened to you some years ago, and you talked about, I don't know if your wife had a miscarriage or you lost a child, and you were talking about taking a drop of your blood and your wife's blood, and you, I don't know, you made a little coffin fart and you buried that child. And I always wanted to do that, and I never did get around to it. Now my husband is dead for 5 years, and I am so agonizing over that child that I killed. And, you know, I went to Planned Parenthood. They didn't advise me that. I just thought it was a clump of something, and I didn't know that the heartbeat was at so many months and this and that. And how can I bury that little child now without my husband's blood?
Well, here's the thing. First of all, thank you for recalling what happened in our life. We lost a preborn child, and the reason that we can deal with that is we know that we will one day meet that preborn child in eternity, but that child will develop to complete perfection what they would have been had sin never entered the world. And that is the same thing for you. Our baby Grace, we will meet again, and you will also have the privilege of being reunited, even with a child that was aborted. Now remember that Christians are forgiven and cleansed, and therefore never do they ever have to doubt the fact that God, His grace will be sufficient, that in the meantime, you can carry on and be a witness to others so that they understand exactly what you have said, that a preborn child is not simply a blob of jello. It is a person made in the image and likeness of God, doesn't have a fully developed personality, but has full personhood from the moment of conception. I wish I could hang on with you. Obviously, very sensitive call. I'm just out of time for today. I am going to stay here for an extra hour, continue taking your calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow with more.
Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Frugal, transparent, and down-to-earth, Pope Francis is one of the most popular public figures. But what about his theological vision? Although he doesn't seem to be pushing a dogmatic Roman Catholic outlook, he nonetheless has his own dogmatic certainties, and they are not what one may expect. Other topics include five differences between Sharia and Old Testament law, Jonathan Cahn's American Revelation, reason, truth, faith, and literary imagination, literature as apologetics, humanity crucified, Hemingway, and the human condition. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.
With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, contains over 50 new entries, including 26 hankronyms. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.